Revelation 22, and get Isaiah 66 in the other hand. Revelation 22, one hand, Isaiah 66 in the other. Now, we covered chapter 21. 21 talked about, it also talks about children being born and kings coming to the city. And the city have no need of light, the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. And then chapter 22, it says, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal. And then chapter 21 says there'd be no more sea. If you look at chapter 21, it says there'd be no more sea. I saw a new heaven, new earth, and the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there was no more sea. But then you got a river of water coming down out of the throne. And it says, in the midst of the street of it, and then either side of the river was there the tree of life. Now here's the tree of life shows back up. Doc always taught this when we was in Bible school. He believes that the tree of life, when Adam and Eve sinned, the angel was there, the cherubim came and blocked them from coming back into the Garden of Eden until everything died and wiped it. That's where the Garden of Eden was. If you go down to Mesopotamia, and you go, that's Iraq, modern-day Iraq, into Iran, and you go up to Turkey and over to Egypt, it's all desert land. That's where the Garden of Eden was. And the Garden of Eden was in Mesopotamia, or come out Ur of Chaldees and all that, where Abraham came from. And here we had all our troops going back there fighting and all that stuff going on. And no matter what people say, they can't get away from the Bible. It's not a coincidence. It's not just something that happened. It's right on the money. And so man came from that time, and Adam and Eve was kicked out of the garden. And Doc taught us this, that he believed that the tree of life was raptured out. The Lord took it away, took it out, and took it back up to heaven. Then it shows back up here, the tree of life. And why does it show up back? Because anybody that comes into there can eat of the tree of life. If Adam and Eve could have got back to the tree of life, they ate from the tree of knowledge, good and evil. But if they could have got back to the tree of life, they could have lived even longer. Adam lived 930 years. And every year, or every so many years, they could have went and ate from the tree of life and went on to now. They could have went on. But the Lord didn't let that happen. And it says, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life. And where there, which bare 12 manners of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. So why, if we're, this is going into eternity, why would they need healing? Why would their nations, because there are going to be children born, and that born in the millennium, going into eternity, they'll be going into eternity, and they're not going to have eternal life like you and I have. We have security of eternal life. Why? We're going to be just like Jesus Christ. And we are like, one day when we get our new bodies, be just like Jesus Christ. We'll never be able to die again. We'll never have disease, never had anything. We're representing him. But there's going to be people that's born. You say, how many people do you think it is? It's going to be in the millions. There's going to be in the millions. They're going to multiply. And through the millennium, a thousand-year millennium, they're going to multiply. And the devil's going to come up in Revelation chapter 21 or 20, and the devil's going to come up, and he's going to be released for a little while. Go back to Revelation 20. And Revelation 20, and it says, Revelation 20, verse 10, the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone. Yeah, here it is. Go back up to verse 7. And when the 1,000 years were expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are on the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them to the battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And when they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about the beloved city, fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night. And then I saw the great white throne. So chapter 20 talks about the devil being, and there's going to be people that's going to multiply for the 1,000 years. And the devil's going to lead a whole, I don't know how many it's going to be, but it could probably be in the millions, leading them to try to destroy Jesus Christ and the saints of God. And then the Lord just devours them. And then chapter 22, you got these people going into the millennium, and then they get to go into to eternity, and they go into eternity, and the Lord says, okay, for you to be able to live. Now, Doc teaches that if when they become 33 years old, 33 and a half years old, they get to go into a certain part of the New Jerusalem. They get to go in, and they get to eat from the tree of life. And now, that's going to be wild. You're talking about eternity. You're talking about going in no more time, no more nothing, and they get to go in. But the Bible says there's going to be this tree and the leaves thereof are going to be for the healing of the nations. And there's going to be time where they're going to need, because they're still in a mortal body, they still have problems, they don't have a body like Jesus Christ. And there, look what else it says in verse 3. But there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. That's going to be, well, there's no more curse on the ground, so that what we eat usually is what affects us. But they're going to be in a mortal body, and they're going to have to get to the tree of life to be able to have eternity, or go in to a longer life, put it that way, to reach time where they'll never die. And in the millennium, there's going to be people dying. There's going to be people die in the millennium. If they don't go up, they'll die. If they don't go up, eat of the tree of life, they'll die and drink from the water of life. And look at here, verse 4. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And it says, and there shall be no more night there, and neither need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angels to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. And behold, I come quickly, and blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Now, John the Beloved wrote this down. He wrote from the beginning of Revelation chapter 1. He goes all the way through the tribulation from 4 to 19. And he goes all the way through there. He sees Jesus Christ on the throne. He sees the marriage of the Lamb. He sees all that, and he puts it in the book. Now, this is where we have a hard time comprehending. Try to think about eternity and going to eternity and having Jesus Christ on the throne, people that are being born, the Jews, being on this earth, and man multiplying, all that stuff, and then being able to go to the tree of life, be able to go to drink from the water of life. My Lord, that's almost like a movie that you would think and you'd see, but that's what's going to happen. That's what the Bible says, and that's going to happen in the future. And thank God, my salvation doesn't depend on anything here. Your salvation doesn't depend on anything here. You're already saved. You've already been born again. You've been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You're put into the body of Christ. You're a part of him. And that's where most Christians don't comprehend it. They don't get that. Man, you're so blessed. You say, can America go on the way it's going? No, the world can't go on the way it's going. One day, the Lord's going to come back. One day, all this is going to end. One day. You say, when is that going to be? I don't know, but I know this. I know the end of this book says it's going to happen. And the Bible already predicted all these things that's coming about the earth right now, all the things that's preparing for the tribulation and the Antichrist and all that. And you would think, how do you know that Bible's right? How do you know that? Well, you can look at Israel. You look at what God said about Israel. You read the book of Jeremiah. You read all the way through the Old Testament prophets where God said, I'm going to take them out over at the Second Chronicles. The Lord takes Zechariah, takes him and puts out his eyes, and they go to Jerusalem, and then Babylon takes over, and the book of Daniel tells you in Daniel chapter 2, there's going to be four kingdoms upon the planet, and one of them is going to be Babylon, then the next one meets the Persians and the Greeks, and then the Rome, and then Rome is still in power. You got Rome being the power of the legs, the political and spiritual. And then it talks about the 10 toes, which is in the tribulation period. I mean, man, that thing, the Bible is right on the money. It's coming right down to it. When you read all that stuff, you go, wow. I mean, then Israel comes back to and becomes a nation, 1948. And this brother just said 70 years. This year is the 70th year. Man, all this stuff is not coincidence. Nothing's by coincidence. And, look up. The Bible says, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Keep your head up. Most Christians walk around with their heads down. Keep your head up. I know this book is right. I know God is right. I mean, I thank God for our president. I thank God for our country. I thank God for all these things. And I can't imagine not living in this country. I can't imagine not having the freedom we have. But one day the Lord's going to come back and it's going to be, man, it's going to be perfect. It's going to be perfect with him on the throne. Him giving judgment out. Him doing what, and there'd be no more argument about it. It'd be him. And the devil will come up like Absalom in the book of Samuel. He'll come up against Jerusalem just like Absalom. And the Lord allow him. He allows him. He knew what he's going to do. He wrote it down. And let's take your place. Go back to Isaiah 66. Look what Isaiah says. I love this, man. I love prophecy. I love reading it. I love studying it. I love, man, when the Lord says something is going to come to pass. And for, brother, it's not a fairy tale. Sister, it's not a fairy tale. It's going to happen. When I got saved, I started trying to read this book and trying to understand this book. I thought, man, I could never understand this stuff. I could never go. I mean, then as I got a hold of it, the Lord got a hold of me. And he started changing my life. Who would ever thought God would change your life? And man, and the Holy Spirit of God comes inside you and he starts working on you. And we sing that song, he's still working on me, changing my life and getting me a new outlook and looking at things the way he looks at it and looking at it better. Amen. And that's what we have to have. We got to have the Lord's outlook. But look what the Bible says in Isaiah 66. And the book of Isaiah is the 66th book representing the book of Revelation. They call the book of Isaiah the little Bible. And it's representing the book of Revelation. And look what the Bible says. It says, thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build me unto me? And where is the place of my rest? That's what he told Solomon and David. For all those things have mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and tremble at my word. There's a thing, trembling at his word. And he will kill the ox as if he slew a man. He hath sacrificed a lamb as he hath cut off a dog's neck. He that offereth an oblation as he that offereth swine's blood. He that burneth incense as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own way. Their soul delighteth in their abominations. I will choose their delusions. I will bring their fears upon them because when I call, none did answer. Because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear, but they did evil before mine eyes and choose that which is I delight not. Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hate you and cast you out of my name's sake, and let the Lord be glorified, and he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. A voice of noise from the city, a voice from the temple, a voice of the Lord that rendereth recompense to his enemy. Behold, before she travaileth, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such a thing? It says, shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day, or shall a nation be born at once? As soon as the Zion travaileth, she brought forth her children. Shall I bring to the earth, to the birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord? Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, saith my God? Rejoice ye with Jerusalem and be glad with her. All ye that love her, rejoice for joy with her. All ye that mourn for her, but that ye may suck and be satisfied with the breast of her consolation, that ye may milk out and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall ye suck, and ye shall be borne upon her sides, and be dangled upon her knees. It says, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Talking about the nation. He's talking about the nation. He said, I will comfort you like a mother comforts her children, and you'll be comforted in Jerusalem. That's talking about the Jews coming back to the nation, coming back as a people. And why? Because of the prophecies, God took them out. God took them out of there. And when ye shall see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like a herb, and the hand of the Lord shall be known towards his servants, and his indignation towards his enemy. For behold, the Lord will come with fire, and with his chariots like a whirlwind. to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. And by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the earth or the Lord shall be many. That's Revelation chapter 9, when the Lord's going to come back and fight for the nation of Israel. He's going to come back and fight against 200 million men that's going to come up against Jerusalem. They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves. See, he's going through the whole thing here. You will get down to it. He says, they that sanctify themselves, purify themselves in the garden behind one tree in the midst, eating swine's flesh and the abomination and the mouse, and shall be consumed together, saith the Lord. I know their works and their thoughts. It shall come that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. And I will set a sign upon them, and I will send those that escape of them onto the nations, Tarshish, Pul, to Lul, and draw to the bow and to Tubal and Japan, and the isles afar off that have not heard my fame, neither have they seen my glory. And they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles, and they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Lord out of all the nations, upon horses and in chariots and litter, and upon mules and upon swift beasts, to my holy mountain, Jerusalem, saith the Lord, as the children of Israel bring in the offering in a clean vessel into the house of the Lord. I will also take of them for priests and for Levites, saith the Lord. And as a new heaven and a new earth will I make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcass of the men that have transgressed against me. And for their worms shall die not, neither shall their fire be quenched. And they shall be abhorred of all flesh. And that's talking about in the millennium. And the Lord says, and then you go into eternity in Revelation chapter 22. So the Lord's saying all this is concentrated around Jerusalem with the Jewish nation, and all that's going to come to pass when coming back to Israel. And so, man, that's why the book of Isaiah chapter 66, go back to 65. Here's, again, 65 and millennium. Look what it says here in verse 17. Behold, I create a new heaven, a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem, and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall no more be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more hence an infant of days, an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, that millennium. And they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. And they shall not build another inhabit, but they shall plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. A day of a tree could be up to hundreds of years old. And they shall not labor in vain and bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that, behold, they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like a bullock. And the dust shall be the serpent's meat. And they shall not hurt nor destroy in all of my holy mountain, saith the Lord. So, but outside of that holy mountain, there could be problems. There could be problems. Go to Revelation 22 again. Get back to Revelation 22. There's a whole bunch of prophecies all the way through there, like Zechariah and all that we've covered, Joel. But let's look back here. It makes sense. It makes all the sense in the world when you put it all together. Look at Revelation chapter 22 and look at verse 6. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these sayings or these things. Then saith he unto me, see, thou do it not, for I am a fellow servant and of thy holy brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book and worship God. That's more than likely probably Daniel that he's talking to, because Daniel was a prince for the Israel. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. And he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his works shall be. Now, it says, and I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right, check it out, right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates of the city. For without are dogs in eternity, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loveth to make a lie. You got people coming through the millennium. You got people that there's no more curse on the ground, and they still sin still in them. Sin is powerful. Sin controls. And when sin gets a hold of you, the Bible says when sin is finished, it bringeth forth what? Death. And these are people who come in, and those that are seeking the Lord, they'll go in. Those that don't, he says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify on these things in the church. I am the root and offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. There's invitation. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. If you are thirsty, want to drink, get in there. And now that does, like I said, that doesn't include us. We can do whatever when it comes to, we'll have a brand new body. Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify to every man that hear the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man will add unto the words of these things, God shall add unto him the plagues which are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. I feel sorry for people that's messing with this book. You think about the Mormons messing with the book. You think about the Catholics messing with the book. You think about all the Catholic Church, they wrote their own Bible. They take the commandments out. You got the Mormons telling you there's another way to heaven. And you've got Jehovah's Witnesses and telling you other things. You bet they're messing with the book. You mess with this book, brother, look out. You're gonna get your mind messed up. He that testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. And grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So end of the thing, say, how's it going, all going to come about? Nobody really knows everything, what it's going to come about. But we know this. That book says this is going to happen, and it's going to happen. We don't know every detail. We don't know every detail when the Lord's coming back. We don't know every detail how long Israel's become a nation. It's 70 years this year. We don't know all the detail, but I know this. We're getting closer and closer and closer by the minute. Closer by the minute. And here we are, man, reading the book. I was praying. The reason I started the book of Revelation, I was praying before we finish the thing to the end, the Lord, the rapture take place. That's what I was praying. But we'd have to start all over again and go through it again. But wouldn't that be a blessing, the Lord come back? But here, it says, verse 27 of chapter 21, there shall in no wise enter into anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they that are written in the Lamb's book of life. If you're saved, and man, brother, you're saved. Brother Chad got saved the other night. You're saved. You got your name. God took out his pen filled with blood and wrote your name in the Lamb's book of life. Man, you can never be, God doesn't have an eraser, and he doesn't take it out. These people here that go from the millennium into the eternity, their names could be blotted out. They're going to be living in a perfect environment, but still in a sinful state, and they can lose their salvation. If they don't go to Jerusalem, they don't go get a drink, they don't go to honor the king, they could lose it. You and I can't lose nothing. We're saved. You know, in the Old Testament, they could lose their salvation. In the Old Testament, they could lose it. We're living in a day and age that when Jesus Christ paid that sin debt on that cross, from there on, it was called the age of grace. And whenever the rapture takes place, the age of grace is going to be gone. I'm talking about when it comes about salvation by grace through faith. That's going to be gone. And then it's going to be like Matthew chapter 24, 13 says, he that endureth to the end, same shall be saved. That's in the tribulation period. So you got loved ones, family, need to be praying. Amen. Be a blessing to see them get saved. And boy, want to see them get saved. You read the end of the book. People always say, how do you know what's going to be? So I've read the end of the book. I've read the end of the book. I know how it ends up. And you say, oh, that's just your interpretation. No, we're just reading the Bible for what it says. And look what Revelation chapter 20 says at the last part. It says, and the sea gave up the dead, verse 13. And it says, that were in it. The death and hell delivered up the dead that were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, in Isaiah, it says we'll be able to look. They'll be able to look on the carcasses of those that sinned against God and rebelled against Him. If there's a, if there could be on this planet, on the new heaven and new heaven, new earth, a hell that's an open pit. I was telling Eric that the other day. I said, you know what? When you went into the temple, if you went up to the temple grounds, they had a big fence around it. But first thing you did when you went in the gates was you saw the brazen altar. And the brazen altar is where the sacrifice was, a type of hell. And then the next thing was the laver, where you went in to clean, get washed in by the water. That's what the priest and the people had to do. And then they went into the priest went in to light the candles and ate the show bread and all that. And then the high priest went once a year in behind the Holy of Holies. And that it could be, the same setup on this planet when they go to Jerusalem, but bigger. The temple, the whole deal. So when they walk in through the gates, the first thing they see is that brazen altar. So how big would it be? Well, I know in the Bible says how big it was, but that thing could be huge. Now, if there's a hell, which in that time, going on the planet, now right now, hell is between, is in the center of the earth. Where is the lake of fire going to be? I don't know. The Bible says death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, Revelation chapter 20 and verse 14, 15, 16, down there. Death and hell is cast in the lake of fire. Where's the lake of fire going to be? Some people say, oh, it's going to be the sun. The Bible says there's going to be no more sun. I don't know. I don't know where the lake of fire is going to be. It's hard for me to comprehend that. There's a lot of things from it's just comprehend people in hell for eternity. That's hard to comprehend. But the Bible says it. And God says it, and God's not a liar. And if you want to see your family say you don't want to see people die and go to hell. Now, I've always said this, and I've heard it said 100 times. If God hung us over hell just for about 5 seconds, we'd be more persuaded to go see our family say our love and live for God. But right now, what we do is we see everything by faith. We read this book. The more you read this book, the more I had a guy telling me the other day, he said, the more I read this book, man, the more my eyes get open to things that I never had open before. I couldn't see it before. And if you don't read the book, you don't see it. So reading the book will open your eyes to things and the way God sees things. And I want to see things the way he sees it. I want to see, and the only way I'm going to see it is through the reading this book. And I was reading over there about Manasseh, and it says, and there was no more remedy. Can you think about that? There was no more remedy. When God's judgment fell, there was no more remedy. It wasn't going to be taken care of no more. That's it. I don't want my worst enemy to die and go to hell. Amen. You got family members? You got loved ones that are not saved? Be praying. Ask God to help you. Pray for our missionaries. Pray for this missionary in Israel. The Bible says to the Jew first, also to the Greek. Pray for the brothers and sisters in Haiti. Red, yellow, black, or white. Makes no difference who they are. God wants to see them saved. But the nations, there's over 100 and I think 90-some nations right now that's in the United Nations. And the nations of the world need Jesus Christ. They need him. I had a guy say to me, why do we support missionaries when we need things around here? I said, man, we couldn't afford not to support missionaries. We couldn't afford to do that. Why? Because God take everything away. Because that's the heartbeat of God, to see people saved. See, because Jesus Christ, his son, paid that sin debt. So we want to see people saved. Amen. I was going to read something else to you, but we ain't got time. Take a prayer request. Brother Ken, come on.